This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a fantastic CEO. We're with Dr. Patrick Basu. Dr. Basu is the CEO of Cancer Treatment Centers of America. It's been a remarkable thing to watch the growth in size and quality of CTCA over the years, and we're thrilled to get a chance to visit with Dr. Basu today. Dr. Basu, can I ask you to take a moment to introduce yourself? Then we'll talk about evolutions in cancer treatment and oncology, in leadership thoughts, and a little bit more. Pat?
Happy to do so. Well, Scott, thanks for having me. Pat Basu, as you mentioned, President and CEO of Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And, you know, just someone like you, you know, a huge believer in a life mission of making a better American healthcare system. And pretty much everything that I have done professionally has tried to forward that objective, and very into all sorts of concepts of a better America, a better healthcare system, and rising through these crises that we are in here in 2020. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take a moment and give people the thumbnail sketch of Cancer Treatment Centers of America today.
Sure. So Cancer Treatment Centers of America is one of the nation's and, frankly, one of the world's largest providers of cancer care. Cancer care is all that we do. We see patients from all 50 states. We treat all types of adult cancers at our hospitals and clinics. We also engage in a wide variety of clinical trials, a lot of frankly, just almost, you know, pioneering really the field of precision medicine and kind of leading the cutting edge of precision medicine in cancer care. And I would just say I think it's a great mix of cutting edge cancer care, but really an ethos that puts the patient at the center. We do have a mantra, if you will, that it is only and always about the patient. And that is something that, having had the privilege of working in a variety of healthcare organizations, you know, you can have a lot of nice taglines, but it's one that is really, really embodied and taken to heart by our thousands of employees.
Thank you. And before we talk about big trends in oncology care, can you take a few moments and give the audience a sense of your career journey and how you ended up as CEO of Cancer Treatment Centers of America, one of the great roles in medicine today?
Yeah, happy to do so, Scott. So, you know, I'll be brief, but I do begin with, you know, I trained as an engineer in undergrad at the University of Illinois, and I often say, although I, you know, probably can't do the calculus equations from that anymore, it really shaped a vision that impacted the rest of my career. One was a very systems level thinking, you know, to build better systems. And the second was just a constant lens towards optimization. You know, back then it was make a plane, you know, safer, make a bridge stronger, make a car more efficient. You know, now it's as I said before, you know, building better systems that are safer for patients. But, you know, chose to take that into a medical career. And really, it was during my medical career, you know, primarily even as a medical student, as a resident, where I really saw that the system was not lacking because of a lack of intelligence. The physicians, nurses, everyone in the healthcare system were dedicated, intelligent professionals. It wasn't for a lack of resources, you know, $3.5 trillion, you know, devoted to healthcare. It was often a poor system and a lack of allocation of those resources. And so really for, you know, the past 15, going on 20 years, it's been a hybrid of sort of medicine, business, and policy. And I left Stanford to go work at the Obama White House, working on a lot of sort of national healthcare and economic issues. Ran a merger of two public companies in the radiology space. Half of what they did was telehealth. And so I co-founded a company called Doctor on Demand, which is a telehealth provider. Along the way, you know, went back to the large organization to be a member of the executive leader team at United Health Group, leading a business called Optum Care, which is not only the largest physician practice in the nation, but also the largest value-based care business. And along the way, learned as a board member for companies and you know, venture capital organizations. And coming up on a little short of a couple of years now, I started as the president and CEO of CTCA.
So a magnificent career. And University of Illinois is not often ranked in the top five with Harvard, Yale, Columbia, et cetera. But from my perspective and your perspective, we would both agree that it rightfully should be based at the very top, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt, without a doubt. You know, the people, the rigor, you know, of Illinois is tremendous. And I think in many programs, ranging from engineering to others, you know, that it's a tremendous place to be, and it shaped a lot of leaders. And most importantly, I think so much of life is about creating a lasting impact. And I think University of Illinois, along with University of Chicago and Stanford, are places that I'm proud to be from, because I think they have a track record of creating a lasting impact for society.
Yes, but in your Chicago and Stanford are fine, but U of I stands above. We both agree. No, I'm just kidding.
Go Illini, without a doubt.
There you go. Dr. Masseuse, let me ask you let me change subjects. The issue of oncology care, there's been probably no area seen such development in the last few years as has the treatment of cancer, work in oncology. Talk about a few of the big trends you see in the oncology cancer care world. What are some of the big trends you see that are making a big difference in treating patients?
Sure. Yeah, happy to. The first is absolutely. I think the dynamism, Scott, in oncology is tremendous. I mean, one of the reasons I went into medicine, you know, more than 20 years ago was that the science is interesting and the people are so, you know, taking care of people is so fulfilling. Both of those are so true in oncology. You know, the being able to take care of patients against this horrible disease, and the science is tremendous. We can do things, Scott, now. You know, we have drugs that just in the last 5 years have changed the game, from, you know, immunotherapy and precision medicine, to just some of the other advances in early detection and diagnostics. So we are rapidly evolving our ability to prevent and quickly diagnose and when diagnosed, actively treat cancer better than we ever have before. And I think you're going to see in the decade ahead even more change there. I think a second area is some of these words that used to be kind of jargony, big data and artificial intelligence and some of those things, are, you know, value-based care, are really kind of rounding the turn from, you know, other aspects of healthcare and really finding their impact in oncology. We have a remarkable oncology and genomic data set at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, arguably one of the best in the world. And we work with life sciences partners to do research, to unlock, you know, new cures and other discovery that will lead to better therapies for cancer patients. So the third area, I think, Scott, that it would be impossible to not talk about would be the trend related to the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, I've done some speaking and writing about this topic I call the shadow curve, which is this notion that while we were, you know, kind of actively flattening the COVID curve, if you will, another curve was rising, sort of like a bit of a tidal wave in the background, which is all the other diseases that were being disrupted while our attention was on COVID. Let me just be clear so that there's no misunderstanding. COVID is a very real and serious and you know, unprecedented pandemic. But we often use the analogy of war in medicine, right? The battle against cancer, the war on COVID, et cetera. similarly, we have to make sure we are fighting a multi-front war. We can't turn our backs on cancer, or for that matter, heart disease or stroke. And what has happened, Scott, is in the last several months, that has happened. A lot of data suggests that, you know, cancer diagnoses are down roughly 35% since COVID, even though we know that people are getting diagnosed, they're just not being actively diagnosed. Screenings are down 80 to 90% in mammograms and colonoscopies and pap smears. As a result, you know, north of 20, 25 million people have missed their screenings. And ultimately, what I fear is what happens in medicine is you, 3 years down the line, we're going to do a study and it's going to show that, you know, there was increased cancer mortality or increased diagnosis of patients caught in stage four versus in stage one because of these delays. And again, maybe just to wrap up where I started, in cancer care, there is an unmistakable trend. If you catch it earlier, the mortality can be as good as 99%. If you catch it late, in, you know, or at an advanced stage, it's often much, much lower than that. So, so those are definitely some of the, you know, the trends, that sort of are at play in oncology.
And Dr. Basu, take a moment on what you view as CEO of Cancer Treatment Centers of America, your top three priorities today. Where do you prioritize your leadership and time today?
So the first is absolutely, again, the ethos of this organization. One of the reasons I came here, one of the reasons you and I, you know, both work in healthcare is absolutely maintaining being in the top 1% of patient satisfaction and oncology quality. Rigorously measured, you know, through Press-Ganey, through Medicare Stars ratings, through mortality and morbidity. That is sort of who we are. That is, again, going back to it, is only and always about the patient. We have something called the Mother Standard of Care, and it's a great term, but I always ask our team and employees, what does it really mean? Well, one of the things that it means is if your mother came to us, we would want them to have the best quality and the highest satisfaction as measured by, did we save their life and did we improve the quality of their life? So that's always, to me, number one. Number two, and particularly during this time of COVID, as well as during this time of a lot of healthcare trends in the United States that are sort of coming to a head or maybe even a breaking point, is ensuring patient access and patient affordability. As amazing as the advances are in oncology, Scott, the costs continue to rise. Oncology is often a top three cost driver of American medical specialties. You're talking, you know, north of $250 billion with a B, out of the entire $3.5 trillion healthcare spend, you know, going towards oncology. And too many patients go bankrupt or lose their job as a result of this disease. So we need to maintain patient affordability. And again, as I mentioned with COVID in particular, we need to maintain patient access. You know, a patient who cannot get the level of care and quality that I mentioned as priority number one, if you can't access it, then it doesn't matter how good you are, right? So that's a second top three priority. The third, Scott, is to engage in really substantive partnerships. I think one of the banes of American healthcare has been, it has been far too siloed, far too fragmented, and not just in the technical jargon of, you know, interoperability or some of those things, but truly, do you feel that you have to do everything yourself? Do you feel that you can be the best at all things at all times, or do you find partners to help you? And so we're looking to engage in all sorts of partnerships, not only with employers and insurance companies and life sciences firms, but literally with other hospitals. You know, 10 years ago, those that might have been considered competitors by us or they looked at us as a competitor, we're now saying, hey, in order to solve the best care for the patient, how do we come together to deliver a safer, more effective solution? So really moving away from an insular do-it-yourself mentality to finding the right partners in healthcare to achieve big goals.
Thank you very much. And Pat, another question. You're having a great leadership career You've been at some of the great names in healthcare and great academic institutions as well. Talk for a moment about what advice you give to emerging leaders. What do you tell emerging leaders about how they become great leaders? What piece of advice would you give?
Yeah, I value this question so much because I have been the tremendous beneficiary of great leaders and mentors who I have the privilege of just getting to stand on their shoulders, and they've helped me out a ton. So I try and invest a lot in mentorship and leadership. So a few things I would say for young leaders. Number one, I advise emerging leaders is I call it a long and broad strategy. And what I mean by that is you have to have a long-term view on impact on society, a long-term view of your leadership. Most people make bad decisions when you put too short of a time horizon on things. But you really need to be thinking in 10, 15, 20 year impacts that you want to have on whatever your vision is, whatever your professional passion is. So that's kind of the long part of it. The broad part of it is to build a broad portfolio of experiences and leadership skill sets. You know, Scott, despite our shared affinity for the great University of Illinois, you know, people will sometimes joke, well, geez, you know, were you schizophrenic? You were an engineer who went into medicine, who went into business and then worked in government and then came back, you know, and it's impossible to say that that was entirely intentional, of course. But what it did provide for me, Scott, was a broad set of experiences that allow me to be a more effective leader. You know, it's when you're engaging in partnerships with government or a given sector, it's nice that you've had some experiences in working with or leading those sectors. When you're managing physicians and engineers and salespeople, it's nice that you've walked in their shoes, you know, at some point in your career. So that's kind of the long and broad part of it. The second thing that I would say is identify your, you know, the politically incorrect term would be weaknesses. The coaching term would be areas of development. Identify those. Don't run from them. Lean into them. Identify and hone them. You know, it's amazing over the course of months and years what you can do with that type of feedback and honing those areas. And then the third is something that I think people often forget is take care of yourself and take care of those around you. First of all, it is the right thing to do. It's the right message to send as a leader, to your team. And for what it's worth, it's also better for long-term performance. You know, if you're not taking care of your and those around you, your physical, emotional, spiritual health, then you might be good for a few months or maybe, you know, a couple of years, but in order to really give sustainable change and impact, you need to maintain that health and performance.
Well, magnificent. And you've taken a lot of that approach to your own career, and you could see it. And Dr. Basu, just fascinating thoughts. I mean, I'm taking a long, broad view of your career, leaning into your weaknesses, which so few of us do, and so few of us do well. And then you also, if you don't take care of yourself and take care of others, you just people have these rocket type careers, but that burn out quickly if you're not doing
yep.
those things. So I think it's great advice. I want to thank Dr. Basu for joining us today. We wish you great success. What you're doing at Cancer Treatment Center of America changes lives and magnificently so. Thank you again, Pat, for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled to have you on today. Thank you very much.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for having me. And I mean this sincerely, that in a day and age where information and communication matters greatly and perhaps more than any other point in our society, I appreciate what you and your team do to get these important stories and messages out and to keep us all informed. So I appreciate you having me and look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you so much.